Integrity and character go hand in hand. Your character is the sum total result of all your choices and decisions to the present moment. It has been said that if honesty didn't exist, it would have to be invented as the surest way of becoming wealthy. Also, as the surest way of making a great life. Your character, your integrity, is your most precious asset. Nature has constructed us in such a way that we are only happy and contented inside when we are living up to our highest ideals. Shakespeare said, "To thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man." To thine own self be true. So integrity begins with your relationship with yourself. Peter Uspensky, the Russian philosopher, mathematician, and metaphysician, said many years ago that psychology begins with oneself and with the study of lying. Uspensky explained that man is a lying organism, that human beings go to great lengths to protect themselves from reality, and they live enmeshed in a web of lies. They claim to be well-informed in areas where they are obviously ignorant. They have grandiose ideas about their own talents and abilities, and they simultaneously denigrate the talents and abilities of others, especially those who are successful. Ambrose Bierce in The Devil's Dictionary said that happiness is that conditioned experience upon seeing the misfortune of a friend. There's nothing that perturbs people more than to see someone that they know becoming successful. Psychologists have various names for behaviors that people engage in to avoid facing reality. Names like repression, when we push it under or push it away. Projection, when we project our own negative qualities onto others. Delusion, when we live in a world of our own making. And especially denial. Denial of reality, the refusal to face the truth about the parts of ourselves and our lives that we feel are undesirable, is probably the major single cause of mental and psychosomatic illness. All denial causes tremendous stress, and if the stress is not dealt with at the mental level, it usually erupts physically. Denial occurs when we engage in face-saving mental exercises to avoid confronting the realities of our lives. Every act of denial is a form of lying to ourselves, and the more we deny, the more we get out of harmony and lose our peace of mind. In fact, your peace of mind, that sensation of inner calm and tranquility, is your finest barometer of what is right and good and true for you. You will always be at peace when you are living, acting, and talking in harmony with your innermost convictions. Whenever you feel unhappy or out of sorts for some reason, stop and ask yourself, what is it in my life that I'm not facing? What is it in my life that I'm not facing? I found as a young man, and less as the years go by, that very often we feel unhappy and uncomfortable when there is something unpleasant in our lives that we're not facing or not dealing with. It could be an unpleasant relationship or a job that's not working out or worries about money or an investment that we made. And what happens is by repressing it into the subconscious, it causes us to feel very, very uncomfortable and disrupts our days and sometimes disturbs our nights. Ask, what is the worst it could possibly be? What is the worst it could possibly be? Whenever we find ourselves in a job or a relationship or a situation that is not right for us, we begin to feel uncomfortable and dissatisfied. And what you have to do is be your own psychologist and delve into yourself and look at your life and say, what is it that I'm not facing? Harry Brown, in his book, How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World, says that there's always a price that you can pay to be free of any source of anxiety. There's always a price you can pay to be free, and you always know what the price is. The only question is, will you pay it or not? And my advice in my seminars is, pay the price. Pay it sooner rather than later, because it's inevitable anyway. Many major problems that make us sick and ruin our lives could have been dealt with much, much earlier if we had been willing to face the problem honestly and straightforwardly. The solution to any uneasy feeling, any situation of denial in your life, is to confront the situation head on and resolve it one way or another. And this is something that often takes tremendous courage. Often we live a lie because we rationalize that somehow it will benefit others and we have no right to be selfish. However, the truth is that you never do anybody any lasting good by compromising your integrity. Couples that stay together when the love has gone out of the marriage for the sake of the children, find that They hurt their children more than anything they could possibly imagine. There is nothing that so undermines and destroys the character and personality of a child as to grow up in a loveless home. It's always far better that the child be with one parent who loves them completely rather than two parents who don't love each other at all. The real reason people stay in a bad situation is usually fear of some kind. The terrible thing about giving into your fears is that eventually giving into your fears becomes a habit, and you no longer have the strength of character to act in your own best interests. A man or woman who resigns themselves to a situation that does not bring them peace and contentment is doomed to a life of unhappiness and underachievement. And you see people like that around you all the time. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Dare to live the life you have dreamed for yourself. Go forward and make your dreams come true." It requires great strength of character to live a life of perfect honesty. But integrity is essential to self-esteem, and self-esteem is the foundation of all success and all high achievement. The natural tendency of human nature is to do and say what is fun or easy rather than what is right and necessary. This tendency toward expediency, taking the fastest, easiest route, is the exact opposite of integrity. We measure the character of a man or woman by how likely they are to do what is right and moral under all conditions, despite any temptations to cut corners or shave the truth. Just think about the great figures of history, from Jesus of Nazareth, the master teacher, through to George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Albert Schweitzer of Africa, Winston Churchill, and Mother Teresa of Calcutta. What we admire about them all was and is their honesty, their sincerity, and their impeccable integrity. Your life begins to become a masterpiece when you get each part of it aligned with your highest ideals and values. One of the most important exercises you can perform is to sit down with a piece of paper and write out what you value the most in life, the people, the qualities, the activities, and the characteristics. Mary Kay Ash says that the best order of values is God, family, and church. Many people feel that personal and family relationships should take precedence over all work or monetary matters, and I personally agree. Charles Hobbs, in his fine audio cassette program, Your Time and Your Life, talks about living life consistent with what he calls your unifying principles. He points out that high self-esteem comes from goal congruence, from setting goals for your life that are consistent with your values. Low self-esteem, on the other hand, and unhappiness, arise when you have goals and values that don't match, where you lack congruence, if you like, where you are doing one thing with your life that is inconsistent with what you believe. Everyone has had the experience of working at a job that they didn't like, and the person to the right of them and the person to the left of them loved the job and thought it was wonderful, but you didn't enjoy it at all. And when you left the job, you left it with a great sigh of relief. The reason for that is always because the job and the demands of the job were inconsistent with your unique set of values and ideals. And when you find a job that is perfect for you, you enjoy every single minute of it. The great tragedy is that the majority of people lead lives of quiet desperation. They work at jobs they hate. They stay in relationships they don't like. They refuse to live up to their highest ideals of integrity. So be scrupulously honest with yourself in every area of your life. Then you can be honest with others. All successful business, for instance, is built on a solid foundation of integrity. It is impossible to succeed in business except by developing a reputation for honesty and dependability. It is a gross distortion to see that businessmen are portrayed as crooks in over 80% of network television shows. A network executive was asked about this not long ago and said, "Why is it that you portray business people as crooks in so many of your series?" He replied, "Because it's easy to pick on them. They don't fight back." He said, "We can't go after the handicapped. We can't go after any racial groups. We can't even go after the mafia anymore, but we can go after business people because they will take it." In reality, there are very few dishonest business people, and what few there are don't last very long. They're soon gone. All good business, like all good lives, is based on trust. Trust with customers, trust with suppliers, the trust of employees, and the trust of your financial intermediaries, your bankers. Every large business was once a small business that grew because it served its customers with the best products at the best prices possible in a competitive market. Anyone who works for a successful business can be proud to be part of an organization that serves people day in and day out with the things they need to enjoy and fulfill their lives. If you sell for a company with regard to integrity, never oversell your product. Never say it can do things that it can't. Never make promises you can't keep or assume authority that you don't have. Alexander Solzhenitsyn once said, "Don't exaggerate. Every addition to the truth subtracts from it." Integrity means living in harmony with the great cosmic law of cause and effect, the biblical law of sowing and reaping. Never expect to reap more than you've sown, or to harvest before your crop has had time to grow. Never expect to get more or different from what you put in. There's a beautiful poem by Jerry Buchanan called Living and Giving, or The Law of Life, and I like to quote it here in full. It says, "Whatever you give away today, or think, or say, or do, will multiply about tenfold and then return to you. It may not come immediately, nor from the obvious source, but the law applies unfailingly through some invisible force. Whatever you feel about another, be it love or hate or passion, will surely bounce right back at you in some clear or secret fashion. If you speak about some person, a word of praise or two, soon tens of other people will speak kind words to you. Our thoughts are broadcasts of the soul, not secrets of the brain. Kind ones bring us happiness, petty ones untold pain. Giving works as surely as reflections in a mirror. If hate you send, hate you'll get back. But loving brings love nearer. Remember, as you start this day and duty crowds your mind, that kindness comes so quickly back to those who first are kind. Let that thought and this one direct you through each day. The only things we ever keep are the things we give away. So never expect to get something for nothing, and never pursue get-rich-quick schemes. There are no rewards without long, hard hours and years of steady, dependable work. Many of us start off in our 20s and our 30s, and we want to be millionaires by the time we're 30 or 40. But the average age of self-made millionaires in America, and there's over 850,000 of them, is 57 years. Most people become wealthy after the age of 40, mostly because they chop and change and try different things and take shortcuts for their 20s and 30s, and it's only after the age of 40 that they settle down to the long, hard, dependable, steady, consistent work that achieves great wealth. P.T. Barnum, the great circus master, said, "There's a sucker born every minute, and someone to take him every 59 seconds. A fool and his money are soon parted, and every day people throw away valued time and hard-earned money looking for a quick kill, looking for some way to get money without working for it. Greed, wanting something without paying full price for it, is the opposite of integrity. I once read the confession of a con man who claimed that the only person in the world that he couldn't swindle was an honest man. He said everyone else was easy to swindle because they were motivated by greed. They were looking for something for nothing. Forbes magazine said recently with regard to hot tips in the stock market, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Integrity means accepting that you are responsible for your life and never complaining. It means accepting that you are where you are and what you are as a result of your own conduct and your own behavior, no one else's. Henry Ford said it well, never complain, never explain. If you don't like the way things are, get busy and change them. And if you're not willing to change them, then don't complain. The dictionary definition of integrity is wholeness, oneness, unity, complete, without fault, perfect. And in the physical realm, living a life of integrity means taking care of your body and your health. Edwin Markham, the famous poet, was quoted recently under the photograph of a very fat man, belly hanging over his belt. The quote asked, "Is this the thing the Lord made and gave to have dominion over earth and heaven?" We are given the most beautiful body in the universe, and part of living a life of integrity is taking good care of that body, recognizing it as the temple of the soul, if you like, as the temple of the supreme being. You can apply this question to yourself. Look at the way you treat your body. Look at the things you do to it. Is this part of living a life of complete integrity? One of the best rules for healthy living is to resolve right now to outlive your doctor and take care of yourself as though you plan to live to 100. One of the things that you should do is set a goal to live to be 100 years old and then sit down and make a plan and look at everything that you're doing today and ask, is this going to assure that I live to the maximum lifespan possible? What many people do in their younger years is they do things to their bodies. They smoke and drink to excess. They don't exercise. They eat the wrong foods. And they pay for it very, very dearly with degenerative diseases, senility, pain, and sometimes incapacitation later on in life. The time to start planning to live a long life is as young as possible. And we also know that the inability to discipline yourself with regard to physical appetites leads to a lack of discipline in other things. People who are incapable of disciplining their physical appetites are usually suspect by people who expect them to act in a disciplined, organized fashion in other areas. Finally, integrity means to always do what is right and moral in the eyes of God and man. Remember, as Emerson said, there is a third silent party to all our bargains. Guard your integrity as a sacred thing. Practice the universal maxim of philosopher Immanuel Kant, who said, "Live your life as though your every act were to become a universal law." Always err on the side of fairness in your dealings with others, especially when you have the upper hand. Practice the golden rule and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Here's a good question to ask yourself at regular intervals to keep yourself on track. It's a hard question, but it's a good one. Ask, what kind of a world would this world be if everybody in it was just like me? Or, what kind of a country would America be if everybody in it was just like me? Or, what kind of a company would my company be if everybody in it were just like me? If you live your life alone and with others, as you would like to be remembered, as a role model for others, you will feel the deep down pride and satisfaction of being a whole person, a light unto your world. And finally, remember that nothing is at last sacred but the integrity of your own mind. Never compromise it for anything or anyone. Each person is born with a potential to achieve something wonderful with his or her life. Everyone, including you, possesses powers and capabilities that have never before existed. You are unique. When God made you, He threw away the mold. And you have an important contribution to make to this world. The only question is, are you going to fulfill your earthly destiny, or will you, as the majority does, go to your grave with your music still in you? This is one of the most important questions of your life, or my life, or any life. Are you going to fulfill your potential and become everything you're capable of becoming? Most people do not. Only a small percentage of individuals in each generation live their lives to the full, functioning at the outer limits of their capabilities. The majority simply live lives of quiet desperation, feeling helpless and trapped by circumstances beyond their control, by fears and doubts that hold them back. I'm convinced that fear is, and always has been, the great enemy of human potential. More people are held back by fears, real and imagined, conscious and unconscious, than by any other factor. Where on earth do these fears come from, and what can we do to overcome them rather than having them overcome us? Children are born with only two fears, the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. All other fears are learned as we grow up. Parents, in an attempt to guide and control us, tend to use destructive criticism on their children an average of 8 times for every 1 time they use praise. The psychological impact of punishment, scolding, and spanking, all meant to help us learn, is the development of feelings of inferiority, inadequacy, and self-doubt. These feelings translate into fears of failure, fears of rejection, fears of poverty, loss, lack, and limitation. We know that whichever emotion is strongest in us will determine our response to any situation. And whatever emotion we give into the most becomes the controlling emotion in our lives. For most people, fear is the dominant emotion. Most of what people say, their reasons, justifications, and excuses are simply ways to rationalize acting in accordance with their fears. The opposite of fear is love, especially self-love, self-esteem, which is expressed in desire. That's why intense desire, a powerful emotion, is the starting point of all great success, because if your desire is strong enough, it will overcome your fears. If fear is the great enemy of human potential, especially the fear of failure, then the great business of success depends upon the development of courage. Winston Churchill said, "Courage is rightly considered the foremost of the virtues, for upon it all others depend." Perhaps the most outwardly identifiable quality of the healthy personality is courage. You can always tell how together you are as a person by how willing you are to risk, to move out of the comfort zone toward the fulfillment of your potential. The future belongs to the risk takers. They are the movers and shakers, the people who make things happen. The risk takers are the tiny minority who lead the human race forward, who face their fears, who act in the face of uncertainty, and dare to move forward. Courage is the indispensable requirement of greatness. Yet courage, as Kipling said, is not absence of fear, but control of fear, mastery of fear, which can be learned as all emotions are learned. The Greek military historian Thucydides said that self-control is the basis of self-respect, and self-respect is the basis of courage. We develop courage by taking full and complete control over our lives and our thinking. That is why it is so vitally important to accept 100% responsibility, to set clear, specific, challenging goals, to commit yourself to becoming excellent in your chosen field, and to act with integrity in all situations. Each of these actions builds self-confidence and self-esteem and simultaneously diminishes the role of fear in your decision-making. At the beginning of this program, I explained that the psychology of success is based on the fact that you can act your way into feeling just as you feel your way into acting. If you do the things that highly successful people do over and over, eventually you will come to walk, talk, think, and be just like those you imitate. You can overcome your fears and develop the habit of courage by practicing the behaviors of others who have done it before you. Remember, only action is action. Only your actions express your true beliefs and values. The first part of triumph is always try. Napoleon said, "No great battles are ever won on the defensive, and only great battles produce great results." Every great life begins with an act of courage, often daring, going beyond your personal boundaries into unexplored terrain, controlling and mastering your fears as you advance. The hero is just an ordinary person who is brave 5 minutes longer than the others. You develop courage by being courageous when every fiber of your being is pulling you back towards safety in the comfort zone. The need for security of life, limb, and property is the basic human need, the survival need. But the quest for security often creates only insecurity. General Douglas MacArthur said, "There is no security in life, only opportunity." How do you develop the courage you need to be successful? Here are some ideas you can use that have been used by others. Number one, remember always that the fear of failure is a learned habit, a conditioned response that can be unlearned with practice. Mark Twain said that the only antidote to fear is, "Do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain." And if you don't think the fear of failure has a predominant place in your life, ask yourself this question: what great things would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? What great goals would you set for yourself if you were absolutely 100% guaranteed of success? What changes would you make in your life if you knew you could not fail? That'll give you an idea of how much the unconscious fears of failure hold us back. Number two, much fear is caused by ignorance. The more you learn about any subject or area of endeavor, the less fear you will have. Take time to get the facts and separate the facts from the opinions. Remain objective by striving for clarity and details before deciding on taking action. Number three, when confronted with a fearful situation, step back and take the time to develop an organized response. Think on paper and review all the information. This will give you that essential feeling of control so necessary for maximum effectiveness. Number four, in any fear-causing situation, stop and ask yourself, what is the worst thing that can happen here? Then take some time to develop alternatives so you are ready with another course of action no matter what happens. All great generals go into battle with reserves of men and material set aside to cover a retreat in the event of a defeat. Napoleon was a great general because he had thoroughly considered every eventuality before the battle began and was often able to turn defeat into victory because he was ready to change plans and act without delay. Number 5, be decisive. Don't sit on the fence. Make firm commitments to your job, your company, your family. Take a stand for what you believe in. Don't be wishy-washy. There is something about a principled person making a firm decision and acting on that that causes things to happen which never would have occurred otherwise. Reader's Digest carried a story recently built around the advice, "Act boldly, and unseen forces will come to your aid." Act boldly, and unseen forces will come to your aid. Opportunities open up for the man or woman who acts courageously. Assistance will come to you in ways you cannot predict. Number 6. You can largely neutralize the fears of failure that inhibit effective action by using visualization and positive affirmations, by reprogramming yourself for success. Every time you visualize your goal and see it as already attained in your mind, you intensify your desire and diminish your fears. Whenever you feel the tightness in your solar plexus, which signals that you fear failure in something coming up, sit down quietly and repeat the words, "I can do it, I can do it, I can do it," over and over, with enthusiasm, until the fear subsides. Encourage others by saying to them, "You can do it, you can do it." When you encourage others, which means to give courage to, you motivate yourself. Make your home and business a place where, as the song says, never is heard a discouraging word. And number 7, with regard to developing courage, perhaps the best success method of all in dealing with fear was explained in Dorothea Brand's 1935 bestseller, Wake Up and Live. She found the formula that turned her life around. In these words, she said, "Go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Act as though it were impossible to fail. If you force yourself to act the part of a fearless, courageous person, in time it will stop being an act and become your reality." Remember, most of what we do is habit, either good habits that lead to success or bad habits that lead to failure. Therefore, whenever you have the choice of moving forward or playing it safe, choose to move forward, because whatever you choose, that will become your habit, and your habits will determine your destiny. The flip side of the coin of courage is the quality of persistence. The two are inseparable and develop simultaneously. Persistence is self-discipline in action. To persist in the face of adversity requires courage, character, and a deep abiding faith in yourself and your ability to overcome. Just as you can never achieve more than you can believe yourself capable of, your capacity for faith grows as you practice sticking to it when the going gets rough. Most of us start off in life with an overabundance of self-doubt, lacking self-confidence in many areas, maybe even with an inferiority complex. But what we have found is that if you persist, your belief in yourself actually increases, your self-esteem improves, and your self-confidence goes up. In fact, your willingness to persist in spite of temporary setbacks and disappointments is your true measure of your belief in yourself and in your ability to succeed. Every man or woman who has ever achieved anything worthwhile has had to endure the dark night of the soul, those agonizing periods when it seems that all is lost and there's no purpose in hanging on. However, they find that nature is a trickster, and you are often only one step from victory just when failure seems unavoidable. Do you remember the poem by an anonymous poet called "Don't Quit"? I'll read it to you in full. It says, "When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. The real aim of life is to develop character and substance as a human being, to become a man or a woman for all seasons, a person of whom nature can be proud. But character can only be developed in the crucible of experience, hard, bitter, difficult experience. The interesting thing about negative experiences is that they come unbidden, usually unexpected, in spite of all our efforts to avoid them. And yet, if we were successful in so ordering our lives so as to avoid all adversity, we would never have the opportunity to fight on, to persist, and to develop our characters. Adversity is not to be feared and avoided. It is to be embraced and overcome. Within every setback or difficulty lies a valuable lesson, often an advantage or benefit that you can find if you look for it. Napoleon Hill, in his success classic Think and Grow Rich, said that persistence is to the character of man or woman as carbon is to steel. The founder of IBM, Thomas J. Watson Sr., was once asked how to achieve success more rapidly. He quickly replied, "Double your failure rate." The more often you fail and learn from your failures, the more rapidly you move ahead. Anyone can persist and have courage when the going is good. It's when the outlook seems bleak that character is required. In the poem Carry On by Robert W. Service, he says, "And so in the strife of the battle of life, it's easy to fight when you're winning. It's easy to slave and starve and be brave when the dawn of success is beginning. But the man who can meet despair and defeat with a cheer, there's the man of God's choosing. The man who can fight to heaven's own height is the man who can fight when he's losing." Winston Churchill was asked in his old age what was the most valuable lesson he ever learned. The old man replied, "I can sum up the lessons of my life in 7 words. Here they are. Never give up," he said. "Never, never give up." 7 words. Never give up. Never, never give up. You must resolve in advance that no matter what happens, you will never give up. Take every setback as a spur to greater effort, as a challenge to bring out the best in you. Believe in yourself. Believe in your mission. Believe that you have been put on earth to make a difference, to do something important, and your struggles are part of the price you must pay to achieve personal greatness. Never consider the possibility of failure. Look upon temporary defeat as simply another way of learning how to succeed. If you have the willpower and determination to stay in there, nothing can stop you in the end. This is the true psychology of success: to do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you like it or not, and keep on doing it until you win through. In closing, here are the famous words of Calvin Coolidge on persistence. He wrote, "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The key to success has always been and will always be, press on." Good luck to you, and thanks for listening.